and my PowerPoint program that fills in the blanks was received, but the blanks were not. So can be a little bit funny today. We're in Ezekiel chapter 19. I will try to remember what these blanks are being filled in for, but I don't know if I can remember all of them. I also want to invite you next week to the Eat and Ask, or Food and Fellowship, or whatever it's called now. And we're going to have beef and chicken fajitas. So if y'all want to bring some rice or beans or tortillas or cheese or tomatoes or salads or desserts or whatever you'd like to bring would be fine. Okay? All right, let me pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that you have not left us in darkness, but that you have given us the light of your truth. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly became a man that he might die on Calvary's cross for the sins of his people. Thank you that you mightily raised him from the dead and proclaimed everywhere that he is the one through whom we must come to have eternal life. We thank you for giving us wisdom and understanding into all these things. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 19 is a lament. It says, as for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. Now, the first blank, I believe, was a definition of a lament. Definition of a lament is that it is a funeral. That's the word you're supposed to fill in the blank with. It is a funeral song. But it's more than just a funeral song. It's a funeral song that remembers the good things that somebody did. Or the good thing somebody was. And yet it's also a mention of the tragedy of death. The sorrow of death, that somebody has passed on. And we would liken it to our word eulogy, which comes from two Greek words. It means good, E-U, and logos, word, eulogy, means good word. So this is a good word about somebody. Somebody's died, it's a funeral song, so it's a lament. There's a mention of the tragedy or the sorrow of death, but it's a good word about somebody. And so Ezekiel's supposed to take up a lament. Who is he supposed to take up a lament for? He was supposed to take up a lament for the kings of Israel. It says in verse 1, as for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. These were the kings of Israel. They were dying off. More than that, it was a lamentation about the kings of Judah who were still in Jerusalem. Not just any king, but the kings of Judah who were in Jerusalem. And the king that was in Jerusalem at this time, his name was Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the king. So it was about 592 BC. Anybody know when Babylon completely destroyed Israel? 586, so we don't have it destroyed yet, do we? We couldn't if King Zedekiah was still ruling. So King Zedekiah is ruling. It's 592 B.C. But 586 B.C. is the time when Jerusalem will be destroyed. So what does this tell us about this lamentation? If it doesn't happen for another 6 years, but Ezekiel is supposed to take it up, it tells us that this is a sure destruction. Remember, that's what Ezekiel has been doing in this passage. He's been using parables and messages and all kinds of things to communicate to the nation in whatever way he can that this destruction is coming upon Judah and Jerusalem, and there's no way to stop it. So here he's taking up a lamentation, a funeral song, if you will, for the kings of Israel, when the kings of Israel are still alive. That means this judgment will be sure. This will be the end of the Davidic line. I think that's what that was, that letter C was. That this is a sure judgment on the Davidic line. But I thought God made an unconditional promise to David. Well, he did, but the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel were never of the Davidic line. Kings of Judah, all of them were. But God is going to bring an end to the Davidic line until when? Until Christ comes. And then we will have the Davidic line reestablished. But, okay, is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the Israelites came back, the leaders were of the Davidic line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one of those leaders that's mentioned in Matthew is Zerubbabel. But Zerubbabel was never really a king.
But he was a leader.
But he wasn't technically a king. And he certainly wasn't a king over all the earth. But yeah, I agree. I agree with you totally that there were people in Jesus' line. I mean, Joseph was, Mary was. Both of them were in the line of David. So yeah, God was still keeping his promise to David. They didn't sit on the throne. Okay, I don't know what Israel is all about. Let me see if I can. Or David. Okay, oh, I know what it is. It says, and say, what was your mother? A lioness among lions? She lay down among young lions, and she reared her cubs. Who is the lioness? The lioness is either Judah or Israel. It is the one who gave birth to David originally. But at this time, it says in verse 3, when she brought up one of her cubs, he became a lion. He learned to tear his prey, devoured men. Who is this individual? This individual is Jehoahaz. He was a son of Josiah. He only reigned for 3 months, but he was a vicious man. He learned to tear his prey. And so he didn't get to stay very long. In fact, he went to Egypt and died. And that's what it says. And the nations heard about him. Heard about Jehoahaz. He was captured in their pit. And they brought him with hooks to the land of Egypt, which is what they did to Jehoahaz. They brought him to Egypt. And it says, when she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, she took another one of her cubs and made him a young lion. Well, what's happening here?
Well, Israel or Judah sees that Jehoahaz has been taken captive, and this lioness, this Judah, sees that her hope was lost. So she took another cub and made him king of Judah. But Jehoiachin died in Jerusalem. He reigned for like 11 years or something like that. He died in Jerusalem. And one of the commentators I read said, this is talking about kings that went to other countries, were taken captive, and were killed there. So Jehoiachin is not the next king that this lamentation is talking about. Who's the next king that this lamentation will be talking about? His name is Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was very much like, first of all, he was, let me get back up a second. Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin were brothers. They were brothers, they were sons of Josiah. Jehoiakim is the son of Jehoiachin. So his uncle would be Jehoahaz. So you have Josiah up here. Josiah has three sons. Three sons are Jehoahaz, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. But under Jehoiachin was Jehoiakim. So Jehoiakim was the grandson of Josiah and the nephew of Jehoiachin. If you understand that, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. That's not really the important part. But what do we see about Jehoiakim? He was very much like his uncle. What does it say? She took another one of her cubs and made him a young lion, and he walked about among the lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear his prey. So what two things liken Jehoiakim and Jehoahaz? His uncle. They were both very vicious. They also ruled for 3 months. Jehoahaz ruled for 3 months. Jehoiakim ruled for 3 months. What else was similar about them? They were both taken captive. Jehoahaz was taken captive to Egypt, where he died, and Jehoiakim was taken captive to Babylon, where he died. They both wreaked havoc among their own people, and as it says here, he destroyed their fortified cities. Excuse me. This is, though, that 1, 2, 3 are the things that Jehoiakim was similar to his uncle. This is where Jehoiakim took it a step further, though. It says, and he destroyed their fortified towers and laid waste their cities, and the land in its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. So, Jehoiakim wreaked havoc on his own people. And it says, then the nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him. He was captured in their pit. So he was taken captive to Babylon. They put him in a cage with hooks, brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so that his voice would be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. So he was taken captive to Babylon. Until a man by the name of Evil Merodach, who was a descendant, he may have been a son of Babylon. Excuse me, son of Nebuchadnezzar. Until Evil Merodach let him free. But he never returned to Israel or Judah
He stayed and died as a captive in Babel. Verse 10 says, your mother was like a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters. It was a fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. Let me see if I got this one. Okay, so who is he talking about now? He's talking about Zedekiah. And the mother who was a vine in your vineyard is Israel. Or if you want to be more particular, it was Judah. So your mother was like a vine in your vineyard planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of the abundant waters. So Israel is fruitful, has many branches, bearing fruit. It was amazing. Israel was the fruitful vine. It says it had strong branches. Its branches were strong, and its branches were strong enough to be used for a royal scepter, as it says. It says in verse 11, and it had strong branches fit for scepters of rulers, and its height was raised above the clouds so that it was seen in its height with a mass of its branches. Israel was beautiful at one time. But not so much anymore. Some things that happened to these kings in this fruitful branch, it says, but it was plucked up in fury. So one thing that happened was that it's plucked up. Verse 12 continues to say it was cast down or thrown down. And the east wind dried up its fruit. It withered up, plucked up, thrown down, and allowed to just wither there. Now it's not fit for anything. Strong branch was torn off, so it withered, and it was burned. Fire consumed it. Then it says, now it was planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty land. Wilderness is another word for the desert region. So now it was planted in the desert in a dry and a thirsty land. Where once it was a fruitful vine, bearing fruit and strong branches, now what is it? Just a twig. It's been withered up, it's been, fires consumed it, it has been plucked up and cast down, it has been planted in the wilderness, and it says, and fire has gone out from its branch. It's been hot and dry, rather than having all this moisture that made the vine alive and fruitful. We now have it just being enduring the hot and dry season, as we do in South Texas often, right? We just endure the hot, dry season. And then it says, it has consumed its shoots and fruits, so that there's not a strong branch, a scepter to rule. What has happened? Babylon has come in, and somebody said that this fire that had gone out from the branch was the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. Some people think it's the destruction of Jerusalem. Others think that it is the Babylonian captivity. Whatever it is, it's Babylon coming in and taking this fruitful vine and destroying it. Then it says, so that there's not a strong branch, there's not a scepter to rule. What has ended? The Davidic line. I mean, it certainly appears that the promise to David has been nullified. And there's no king in Israel anymore at this time that Ezekiel wrote. Oh, but there was a king, wasn't there? Zedekiah was still ruling, right? But this lamentation, this funeral song, where the good things about the people are mentioned, but the sorrow or the tragedy of death has to be mentioned as well, was while Zedekiah was still ruling, right? And yet this is very, very specific and very destructive. God will bring this judgment upon this land and upon this people, and nothing anybody wants to do can stop it. And this is the last part of the section in Ezekiel that says that the judgment is very, very sure. No. Okay, so now let's go back to the beginning and see if we can't put all this together. As for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel, that is, take up a funeral song for the kings of Judah, and say, what was your mother? What was the one who gave birth to all these kings? She was a lioness among lions. She lay down among the lions, and she reared her cubs. When she brought up one of her cubs, he became a lion. This is Jehoahaz. And he learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. Then nations heard about him. He was captured in their pit and brought with hooks to the land of Egypt. Jehoahaz was taken to Egypt where he died. His brother, Jehoiachin, became king, but he's not mentioned here. When she saw, as she waited, that her hope was lost, her hope in her son and her cub was lost, she took another one of her cubs and made him a young lion. This is Jehoiakim. And he walked about the lions. He became a young lion, learned to tear his prey, and he devoured men. So he was also a vicious king. But he also attacked his own land. He destroyed their fortified towers, laid waste their cities. The land in its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. The nations set against him on every side, from their provinces, and they spread the net over him, and he was captured in their pit. He was taken captive to Babylon, where he died. They put a cage with hooks and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so that his voice would be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Now, then shifts from a analogy of Judah or Jerusalem or the mother being a lion to the mother being a vine. So in verse 10 through 14, the last part of this chapter is about Zedekiah. It says, your mother was a vine in your vineyard, planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. Okay, so Israel was planted where there was plenty of water, and it was also very good. It had strong branches, fit for scepters of rulers, and its height was raised above the clouds, so that it was seen in its height with this mass of its branches. So Israel grows to be huge because of abundant waters. Its height was even above the clouds, but it was plucked up in fury. So this huge, beautiful vine was just yanked up and thrown down, planted. It says, and the east wind dried up its fruit. Now, the east wind is Babylon. Could be a dead, because the east wind, the west wind would bring the water from the Mediterranean. The east wind would bring nothing but dry, hot air. And Babylon was to the east of Jerusalem and Judah. So when it says in verse 11, it had strong branches fit for scepters, its height was above the clouds, so it seen mass of its branches. Verse 12, but it was plucked up in fury, it was cast down to the ground, and its east wind dried up its fruit. That's Babylon. But God is using the analogy of a vine to try to get that across. Strong branch was torn off so that it withered, the fire consumed it, and now it is planted in the wilderness, in the dry and weary land where there is no water. The fire has gone out from its branch, it has consumed its shoot and fruit, so that there is not a strong branch, a scepter to rule. Zedekiah would be the last king of Judah, last king of in Jerusalem. He would be taken captive to Babylon as well. I believe it was Zedekiah who got to see his own sons killed, and then his eyes were gouged out. Nice. This is a lamentation. This is a funeral song and has become a lamentation. Okay, that's all I got today. So anybody have any questions or points they'd like to make?